Oh, on the bad news. We were talking about the bad news, right?
Right.
James 2 and all that. And, okay, James 4. And then sinner is separated from God. Is that correct? We've got that already then? All right, now, separated from God, you want to add another verse there. What does sin do? This is what we're taking up on last week. Start your recorder here. The effects of sin. You not working there? Is it working?
Let's see if it's just this.
Working now?
Right.
Okay. Under the bad news, we got Isaiah 64, verse 6, that, you know, there's your righteousness is a filthy rag, right? Okay, and Romans 3:10 and 3:23, all of sin have come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. 5:12, for all death passes on all because of all sin. Death, the word death means separation, by the way, in Hebrew and the Greek. The word death, literally translated, would mean separation. Now, it means separation in regards to physical death, meaning separation from life, from the living. You're separated. Spiritually, it's separated from God. The word death doesn't mean like dead the way we think. The word dead means separated. All right, separation. That's the word death. Okay, now.
Romans 1.
Death passes on all men. Separation passes on all men.
No, worthy of death. That's
worthy of separation from life. There in Romans chapter 1. Worthy of death, meaning separation from life. That's the word.
Now the next reference then at the end of this passage, you go ahead and put 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. Now, remember we're in Hebrews. And you may want to tie this together with Hebrews as well, but just make sure it's not part of your chain. In Hebrews 10:22, we read, "Let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having your heart sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and your bodies washed with pure water." Where does that occur now? Well, we've already seen baptism, but we'll see it even clearer. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21 just states it point blank. No way of getting around it. No way, unless you ignore the Bible. Unless you ignore the Bible. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, it says, in verse 20, it says, "And how 8 souls were brought safely through the water, or saved by water." And in accordance with that, or corresponding to that, or in like manner now, baptism now saves you. I say, would you believe baptism don't save anybody, people say. Now, before I said, don't you dare say that baptism is what washes away your sin. But does baptism save you? Mm. Yes, sure does. Why? Because that's where you make contact with the blood of Jesus. How do you get that? Well, your hearts are sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. And we learn in the context that you just said, talking about the sprinkling of blood. We learn this, the sprinkling of Christ's blood. Alright, Hebrews 10. Now, if we look at here, in this passage it says, baptism now saves you. And I've told people, would you believe it if you read it in your Bible? But I don't read it by the Bible. I said, would you believe it if I could show you a passage that said it? And some people just come out and told me no. And I said, well, then that's the end of our study. No point in talking. No point in going on further.
Yeah, really.
And no point in going on any further. I mean, if you're not going to believe it when you see it in the Bible anyway, what use is there talking about the Bible with you? Now we need to talk about evidences. We need to prove the Bible to you.
Oh, you don't have to prove it to me. I believe it.
No, you don't, because you said you wouldn't believe it if I showed it to you in the Bible. And they said, well, because it's not in there. I said, what if I could show it to you?
You can't.
I said, what if I can? Like I said, the one Baptist guy. He says, you can't find it in my Bible. I said, what version are you using? He said, King James. I said, give me your Bible. I went to his Bible, the page was gone. The page was gone. He'd obviously studied with somebody from the Lord's Church before and tore the whole page out. I mean, he didn't even care, not only about that verse, but the rest of the verses on both sides of the pages. I had a friend, a classmate of mine, talk to another guy, also Baptist from Oklahoma. And the guy says, you can't find that in my Bible. Same kind of rhetoric, same kind of speech, conversation. He turned it in his Bible, and there was black magic marker over the whole verse. He turned to Mark 16 and verse 16. Black magic marker over the verse. black magic marker. Anyway, some people, they say, yeah, I'll believe it if I see it.
Or
maybe. I'll say, would you believe it if you could read it from the Word of God? Would you believe it and respect it? And they'll say, yes. And I'll go, read 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. And baptism saves you. And I'll say, now read it out loud. And I'll say, correspond to that, baptism. I'll say, come on, read it. And they'll go, and correspond to that, baptism now, by an appeal of a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus. I said, I something was left out somewhere. I read that again. I missed something. You know. And they'll go, corresponding to that. And then I start getting them, rotting them, because they're not responding. They're refusing it. They can't even bring their mouth to read the Word of God, because it convicts them.
Mm.
And they sit there, and it's like, baptism is a... And corresponding to that baptism, by an appeal of a good conscience to God. Wait a minute now. Say it now. Corresponding to that, come on now, you can do it. I know you can do it. I know you can. Come on. I was doing this to a guy named James, who lived somewhere around Great Neck, who was Deborah Alferson. This girl fell away. She had this minister friend of hers.
Jewish guy?
No, this was a guy. He's a black guy, but I studied with him. He was a minister, a jail minister and everything. Anyway, I studied with him, and he couldn't bring himself to say the word. I'm saying, what kind of a man of God, supposedly man of God, cannot even bring himself to read the Bible? And then he thought, you were too cruel to him. Too cruel?
Who said that? Debbie.
He deserved a kick in the pants, is what he deserved. He deserved a good swift boot in the rear. As a matter of fact, he went to shake my hand that evening, goodbye. Good night, brother. And I said, I pulled my hand back. And he went, no, goodbye. And I went, no. And I looked at him, I stared at his hands. No, I'm not shaking your hand. And he was so hurt that I wouldn't shake his hand. He was so hurt. And I wouldn't give him a greeting, because he that gives him a greeting participates in an evil deed. That's what it says in 2 John. That's right. So I wouldn't shake his hand. I wouldn't even give him a greeting.
That the world, or no?
No, this guy had come and teaching a false doctrine, which is what he was doing. He was refusing to... I mean, I'll shake a guy's hand, but he's coming to learn, to listen, and to talk, and discuss God's Word. But if he's coming there to teach a false doctrine, and he refuses to bring himself to say the Word of God, that convicts him, forget it. Anyway, the passage says, and now we will read it, because we can, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Well, they'll go on to say, oh, look, not by the removal of dirt from the flesh. I go, amen. It's not because you take dirt off your body. You take dirt off your soul, off your conscience. Remember Hebrews 10:22 said, having your heart sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, having your bodies washed with pure water? Look at this now. And baptism. Now, water, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience. The conscience sprinkled clean from an evil conscience? Right? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's by the resurrection. That's what gives it any authority or power. Okay? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on His name. See how that ties together now? So now, when somebody says, and they quote from Romans 10, that's not the next reference, so hold your finger here, because you're going to have to write back there. But in Romans 10, they'll quote the Bible and say, this is how to be saved. Verse 13, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Alright?
Call
them. And I say, amen. I say, amen to the passage. I say, amen.
Yeah,
where?
Romans 10:13.
Yeah. And where? How do you call upon the name of the Lord? How do you call upon His authority for salvation? And that's the question I would write right there by verse 13, Romans 10. How do you call upon the name of the Lord for salvation. Acts 22:16. Arise and be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on his name. That's
okay.
How. That's where.
Acts 2:21 too.
And Acts 2:21 says, we'll say the same thing. It says,
yeah.
Call on the name of the Lord. Then they show you there as well. But now the point is this. I go, how? Where? How do you call upon the authority of Jesus? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism now saves you, not by a washing away the filth of the flesh, but by an answer of a good conscience toward God. Now, so far we've got that. Now, let me see. The next reference, where were we now just before? 1 Peter 3:21. Let's go through the New Testament, looking at a couple of other passages now, tying this together. 1 Peter 3:21. The next passage, what we'll look at, is do we look at all the conversions? Not really. Let's go back to no, we won't go there yet, Acts 19 yet. No, we won't look there. We'll go there later, showing rebaptism. Right now, we'll go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 26. That will be, so verse Peter 3:21, at the end of the verse, you'll have B-A-P-T, period, Galatians 3, 26 and 27. Alright? And it says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, if somebody says, see, faith only. No, it doesn't say faith only. Don't you dare add to the Word of God. Because James will tell us it's not by faith only or faith alone. No. But faith with works is faith made perfect. So as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. James 2. Let the Bible interpret the Bible and stop playing God, I tell people. Alright? Now, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. That's who you're trusting in. You're trusting in His ability to save. For you are all sons. See, now what he goes on, is that his point was, verse 25, that verse 24, the law, the Old Testament law, was only our school bus driver, literally, to bring us unto Christ. It was only our tutor. And that word tutor there literally means a child conductor, one who brings us to another for teaching. So the law was only to bring us unto Christ. That would be, in our equivalent language, would be more accurately translated, like a school bus driver. Or like a crossing guard, somebody to bring us from one point to another. It's a school bus driver to lead us unto Christ, that we may be justified by faith. Alright, now once you're unto Christ, you don't live under the law anymore. What do you mean? You don't obey the Ten Commandments? Right. Obey Christ. And I'll obey much more than that because I'm obeying Christ. I'm living by the law of faith, rather than the law of Moses. It's only our thing. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. No longer under the law. That's just what it says. For, he's making his point. This is my argument. We're no longer under the tutor because, or for, you are all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For, now he's going to say, how are they sons? You are sons of God because all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ, or put on Christ. Alright? And that's where you get in. How do you get into Christ? You're baptized into Christ. How do you clothe yourselves with Christ? For all of you who have been baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. But people are saying, yeah, I'm saved in Jesus Christ. I'm clothed with Jesus Christ. How'd you do that? Oh, I accepted Him into my heart. How'd you do that? I just called Jesus to my heart. I prayed the sinner's prayer. Okay.
The what prayer?
The sinner's prayer. I don't know. It's some denominational thing, the prayer that they made up. The denominations are passing around. They call it the sinner's prayer.
Okay.
Right. All right. But how did you say they called themselves a Christ? For all of you who have been baptized into Christ,
have clothed yourselves with Christ. All right. Now, baptism, we've already seen, is used with water. And they'll say, well, that's talking about the Holy Spirit baptism. I say, wait a minute. Next reference, at the end of verse 27, B-A-P-T, Ephesians chapter 4, and verses 5 and 6. There's only one baptism. So if they were practicing water baptism, mm-hmm. then that's the one baptism. Then any Holy Spirit then. It's water. Verse 4 says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you're called and one hope of your calling. Verse 5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. But you say there's Holy Spirit baptism and water baptism. They go, right. Okay, then there are two Lords. And two faiths. And two gods. And two fathers of all. And two bodies. And two spirits. And two hopes of your calling. I mean, if you can make those two, then you can make those other ones, twos. Mm. And if you can't do the other ones, you can't do baptism either. And it's one baptism. Which one did they practice? The eunuch took him down into the water. Philip took him down into the water. Peter said, can they make forbidden water? He should not be baptized. He washed it with pure water by the word. Ephesians 5:26. All right? Water saved their souls, and corresponding to that baptism is also now saved. 1 Peter 3:21. Hebrews 10:22. Having your heart sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and your bodies washed with pure water. Jesus said in John 3:3-5, born of the water and of the Spirit. Okay? The washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Spirit, Titus 3:5. See all these passages now. So now, which baptism is this? Water or Holy Spirit? You get the idea that the New Testament, the practice that they practiced in the New Testament was water. So this is the one they're always talking about, the one they're always doing. Where was Lydia baptized? Where did they find her? By a riverside. Remember that? Where did the jailer wash the stripes of Paul and Silas and was baptized himself? Water. Okay? There you go. It's water. So it's the water baptism is the baptism that the New Testament Christians practice, therefore it's the one baptism. Unless we're saying they misunderstood and that misunderstanding was written for our learning. For us to follow. That's what it says. Exactly. You're calling God a liar. This is why I get upset with people that deny the word and deny these facts. Because then they're denying God and they're calling God a liar. In an indirect way, and then it'll eventually become a direct way once I've studied with them. They'll come right out and directly call him a liar. They won't be able to read the passage. They'll say, I won't believe it if I even see it in my Bible. And they'll cross it out of their Bible or tear the page out if they have to ignore it.
It's so simple to accept it and to do it, but, you know, they're going to find out the hard way. They're going to say before God, you know, wow, I know, I should have listened. I think I should have listened, but hey, too late. Then bang, you know, then judgment.
It's over.
You know.
And it's over for every eternity they're going to pay
for. Everlasting, you know, punishment. Hey, listen. No?
But it's not worth it to them. Their pride is more valuable than eternity in hell.
Really? So.
Their pride is more valuable. Pride. What it is.
Sometimes you view me. You
if any man teaches otherwise, what is the first thing he is proud. 6:3-5. 1 Timothy 6:3-5. Okay. Now the next passage we'll look at then, this one baptism, and we looked at how you get into Christ. Now, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let's see why. That's where we come in contact with the blood. Let's see the passage that says it. The next passage then at the end of Ephesians 4 verse 5 would be B-A-P-T Romans 6 verses 2 through 7. Romans 6, 2 through 7. Well, he starts out in verse 1 by saying, Romans chapter 5, he's just built the case for grace, and that grace is what we're saved by. Okay, not works, and we can be saved in Jesus through grace.
Okay? Even so, grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All right, we got grace. Now that we got grace, then, shall we continue in sin that grace may increase? I mean, if grace is covering our sins, let's go out and sin some more so we can get more grace. You want more grace? Sin some more. Because grace covers sin. He says, may it never be. Forget that. Get that out of your head. King James says, God forbid it. How shall we, who died to sin, still live in it? My question is, and what he's going to want to say is, he's going to remind them how they died to sin. Now, if you've died to sin, how can you live in it? Now, a lot of people will say, yeah, I've been born again, I've died to sin. I'll ask them how. Well, I accepted Jesus as my Lord. I called him into my heart. I prayed a sinner's prayer. I did all these things, okay? All right. Now, I say, well, what does the Bible say to do? I mean, there's your works. Those are your works of righteousness that you're trying to be saved by, and the Bible says you can't be saved by your own righteousness. So now you're a legalist anyway. You're not really truly depending on grace. A person who tries to get by saying, I'm a good person, I called Jesus to my heart, I did this, I did that, how do you know you're saved? Well, what are they talking about? They're talking about their works. Not an obedient faith to the commands of God. Therefore, trusting Him. See, obedience to the commands of God is faith. They think it's faith is something you don't do. Oh, it's something you do, but it's something you do that are obedience to the commands of God. When you're obedient to the commands of men, then you're trying to be saved by your own works, not God's. Mm. Your own works of righteousness. In the Bible, we just got done reading a passage that says you can't do that. Not of our own righteousness. What is that? Titus 3, verse 5. Was that passage that said that it's not by our own acts of righteousness He saved us, but by His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Now, coming back to here, He says, may it never be. How shall we who have died to sin still live it? Or don't you know? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Jesus Christ have been baptized into His death? Where do you come in contact with the blood of Jesus? Baptism with the death of Jesus? Verse 3, baptism. That's what it says. That's what it says. That's how it says we died to sin. He says, don't you know? You've died to sin. You can't live in it anymore. Because don't you know that all of us who have been baptized into Jesus Christ have been baptized into His death? Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into His death. Well, we got into His blood now. Not only His blood, but now His burial. There's the old man of sin being buried. In order that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. You want to talk about a rebirth, born again, John 3:3-5, new life, born again, washing of regeneration. See it all coming together?
If you keep your part.
If we don't walk in sin anymore, if you died to sin. We too might walk. It talks about the possibility of apostasy, sure. All right. For if when we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, how the only way you can become united with Him in the likeness of His death? By laying in your bed one night and crying out, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Or putting your hand on a radio or a television tube? Sending back a letter or a prayer cloth or something? No. It says you got to be baptized to be united with Him into His death and into His burial. And if we have been united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also in the likeness of His resurrection, as our spiritual resurrection. When does that occur? For the Baptists, before they're baptized. So they're burying live people, supposedly. People who've already been dead to sin. I don't know how they've been dead to sin, because it's not a Bible passage that tells them how they've been died to sin. Now, if they say baptism, when they're saying they can be saved before they're dead to sin, before they've died to sin, before they've been united with Him in the likeness of His death, before they've been raised in the likeness of His resurrection, you mean they're saved before a spiritual resurrection? What do you mean? What are you saying? God can fellowship darkness? The Bible says that he that says that he knows God, but yet walks in darkness, has fellowship with God, but yet walks in darkness, is a liar and does not practice the truth. 1 John chapter 1. In verse 5 and 6. Period. That's just what it says. Alright? Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him. Where? That our body of sin might be done away with, and that we should no longer be slaves to sin. How? He that has died is freed from sin, verse 7. for he who has died is free from sin. How'd you die to sin? Baptism. When was the old self crucified with him into his death? How'd you get into his death? Baptism. Somebody says, no, before that. Give me a passage. You can't find one. This is it. So you got people that are saying this, say, before they're baptized. So therefore, their baptism didn't mean anything anyway. A lot of people, the Baptists will say, okay, then I realized then that it couldn't have happened until I was baptized. No, your baptism didn't do you any good because it wasn't for the right reasons. It wasn't to get into his death, burial, and resurrection. It wasn't to be born again. You believed you were born again before you were baptized. You didn't believe what this passage teaches. You didn't believe it. You didn't believe the Word of God, and that's why you didn't respond to it the way the Word of God said it. You saved your baptism till Easter Sunday. You saved your baptism to the third Sunday of the month. You didn't do it immediately, the straight way, the same hour of the night, like they did in the New Testament. You're not the New Testament church, you're not New Testament Christians. You're devil Christians, you're demon Christians. You're Christians that are a product of demon's teachings that depart from the faith, paying heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils.
Seared
with a burn iron. That's right.
Really.
That's right. Next passage. We're not done yet. This is only the beginning now. Mark chapter 16 and verses 15 and 16. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. So the end of verse 7, you put B-A-P-T, Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. What's the gospel? He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. So somebody says, there you go, he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. I go, amen. But I don't want to know how to be condemned. I know how to be condemned, disbelieve. Tell me how the passage says to be saved. Believe. I said, yeah, and? And nothing. I said, what do you mean, and nothing? Read it. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Now, I said, do you know what the word and means? And in English and in Greek is what is called a coordinating conjunction. And what that means is that things that are mentioned or talked about before and after the word and are of equal importance. Alright? So, believe and baptize are equally important for being saved. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. One and one equals two. Believe and be baptized equals salvation. There's a biblical equation here that cannot be denied. Now, if you disbelieve, are you going to be baptized anyway? No. So you'll be damned. Now, is a person who say they believe in Jesus Christ but are not baptized for the right reasons, are they believers or disbelievers? They're disbelievers, so they're going to be damned. Because they didn't believe the passage the way it was laid out. Damned. Going to hell. Unless they repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ by His authority, not by the authority of some Baptist church somewhere.
Like, I fully understand that I was baptized, you know. But you gave me a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, you didn't understand all of this.
Fully understand the whole thing.
You're not going to. In 10 years from now, you're going to see even more.
No. No, but like my baptism and stuff, no? You know.
Well, I know that, but I'm saying, I'm on this stuff. Yeah, you will understand even more 10 years from now. I appreciate it more. Yeah. I mean, the bare essentials of what you need to know is what you were taught. Now, the point is this, that some people, as you study and as you grow in the Word, a lot of people say, well, I didn't know all that. I need to be baptized again. No. If you believed you were lost and you were going to hell before, and you wanted to give your life to Jesus, and that's why you were baptized, and I know, I remember that. So she was telling me, I don't want to go to hell. I want to be baptized.
I read some passages about hell, so.
Yeah.
it's not too well.
Right. Jesus, I want to give my life to God, and I want to do for what He said for the rest of my life. And I want to be a Christian. And I realized I wasn't one before. And I want to serve God for the rest of my life. That's it. That's all you need to know. Now what you're going to do is you're going to grow and learn more, appreciate how all this occurred, what all it means, and so forth. You'll appreciate it more and more and more. That doesn't mean your baptisms were invalid. or wrong. The point is this, you must understand the nature of baptism is for salvation. And baptism is where you come in contact with the death of your Lord. You understood that, and I taught it. Alright, I don't not teach it. I read the scriptures. There they are. Okay? What you learn is what's in the beginning of, on that salvation. Mm-hmm. Now, we've added some more passages now in the baptism chain reference, and we've discussed them in more greater depth. But we're discussing them in the depth now that you wouldn't even have appreciated back then.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have known what I was talking about. But now you can look back retroactively. This is what Paul's doing from the Romans. In that Romans chapter 6, what was he saying? He says, don't you know? Or do you not know that we will be baptized in Jesus Christ or baptized in the Jesus Christ?